Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Some reports are indicating U.S. President Donald Trump, not President-elect, made several phone calls to world leaders on Friday, most notably Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen. The call would be the first such contact between a U.S. president or President-elect and a Taiwanese leader since the United States broke diplomatic ties with Taiwan in 1979 in favor of closer ties with China. There was no immediate response from Beijing, but Trump tweeted late Friday that Taiwan's president had actually called him rather than him calling her. Iran is threatening to retaliate after the U.S. Senate gave Congress final approval to an extension of the American sanctions law against Iran. Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has said he considers the sanctions bill a breach of the nuclear deal and has threatened retaliation. Lawmakers of both U.S. political parties argue the United States must maintain leverage over Iran. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Preserving these sanctions is critical given Iran's disturbing pattern of aggression and its persistent efforts to expand its sphere of influence across the Middle East.
Enacted two decades ago, the sanctions were meant to address long-standing U.S. concerns, such as Iran's support for international terrorism. Partially lifted under the nuclear accord implemented last year, lawmakers said sanctions should be kept at the ready. United Nations wants to provide $1 billion worth of supplies, they say, next year to victims of Boko Haram jihadists in northeastern Nigeria, part of the United Nations Humanitarian Response Plan for 2017. This is VOA News. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has urged continued work to deal with the devastating humanitarian situation in the Syrian city of Aleppo. Speaking in Italy, Kerry said it was important for all parties to work on a framework to provide a passage for people to get out of the besieged city.
If the humanitarian situation could be dealt with in Aleppo more effectively, and if indeed we could create a framework for the passage of people out of Aleppo, that could open up the space to perhaps be able to start some kind of conversation in Geneva.
Kerry's Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov said his country is sending humanitarian and medical assistance to eastern Aleppo. Russia proposed opening four safe corridors for humanitarian aid in October, but the UN has not used them because of security concerns. World Health Organization is reporting that hospitals and health facilities are overwhelmed by the number of war wounded from fighting between Iraqi government forces and Islamic State militants in the battle for the city of Mosul. Lisa Schlein in Geneva is reporting the WHO says an increasing number of civilians are requiring trauma care but are not able to get it.
WHO spokeswoman Fadela Shaib says the WHO is concerned that a significant number of civilians are trapped and unable to receive urgently needed treatment for their injuries.
We have seen many injured people, mainly men, but also women and children. Children as young as 2 years old who needs treatment for injuries. The main injuries are bullet injuries, mine and shell injuries, and mortar injuries.
Shaib says the hospitals in the Iraqi Kurdish city of Erbil are closest to the front lines. The problem, she notes, is that transportation time from Mosul can take 2 to 4 hours, reducing patients' chances of survival. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
U.S. City of San Bernardino, California held a public ceremony late Friday remembering victims of a terrorist attack exactly a year ago. On the morning of December 2, 2015, Syed Rizwan Farouk and his wife, Tashfeen Malik, walked into the Inland Regional Center where Farouk worked, opened fire on co-workers, killing 14 of them. Couple was killed about 4 hours later in a shootout with police. FBI began investigating the shooting as an act of terrorism, found online posts by Malik pledging allegiance to the Islamic State, but authorities said there was no direct link between the couple and the jihadist group.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation this week with one of the major vocalists in jazz today, Tierney Sutton. We'll talk to her backstage in New York City at the famous club Birdland. Ms. Tierney Sutton has been very busy with 4 releases in the last few years, including a new soundtrack just out. We'll tell you more about that later and play music from 2 of her newest releases in the last couple of years later on in this edition of Jazz America. Let's begin this hour, though, with the music of the late great pianist Wynton Kelly, one of the unsung heroes of jazz history, who died, unfortunately, far too young at the age of 39 of an epileptic seizure. He was known as a fine pianist and worked with the likes of Dinah Washington, Dizzy Gillespie, John Coltrane, Cannonball Adderley, Wes Montgomery, Sonny Rollins, Betty Carter, Billie Holiday, and Abby Lincoln. And with all of that great work, he gained the attention of Miles Davis, who invited him to come in and work on what has been called the best-selling album in all of jazz history, Kind of Blue. He and Bill Evans shared the piano chair with the songs on that groundbreaking release. And here's the late Wynton Kelly, who was born on the 2nd of December in 1931. We celebrate him now with his piano playing and Miles on the trumpet on Freddie Freeloader.
Thank you.
Great masters of jazz back-to-back. We heard Miles Davis from Kind of Blue with Freddie Freeloader, Wenton Kelly joining him on piano, and with his sextet. That was a title cut from his album New High from a few years ago, the great Larry Coryell on guitar. Russ Davis here, and let's go backstage once again to Birdland in New York City to talk further with the versatile jazz vocalist. She can do everything from swinging straight-ahead jazz to modern versions of pop music, as she did on her most recent release, her celebration of the music of the famous pop star Sting, called the Sting Variations. Tierney Sutton, great to see you.
Nice to be here.
Well, I know it was nice to be here, because this crowd was roaring for every song from the new release, the Salute to Sting, and the band was just playing their hearts out, beautiful dynamics, your voice standing out. So give me some thoughts about playing Birdland tonight, the music of Sting.
Well, it's been a really wonderful experience to take on this music because it's a departure for us. We've mostly concentrated on the Great American Songbook for 20 years together. But it's been a real expansion for us to look at this music. Sting's repertoire has deep jazz roots, and he was very much a lover of jazz and had deep roots of his own in jazz. So we are really, really enjoying this. It's taking a while for me to really feel in my shoes, but it's a new love.
I had a chance to speak with him about the jazz aspect of his music, and it was after he'd worked with Branford Marsalis and all his mates.
Kenny Kirkland and all those guys. Yeah, what did he say? What did he say about it?
He said, well, I'm not a jazz musician, I'm an arranger. And jazz is, in essence, an improvised music, and there is improvisation in lots of times in what I'm creating, but I'm not a jazz musician.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, it would be really, really interesting to meet him and talk to him about it.
And here's Tierney and the Band with their version of Synchronicity 1 on Jazz America from VOA 1.
With one breath, with one flow, you will know synchronicity. A sleep trance, a dream dance, a shared romance, synchronicity. Linked to the invisible, almost imperceptible, something inexpressible. Logic so inflexible, causally connectable, nothing is invincible. Without a cause, subatomic laws, scientific pause, synchronicity.
Hi, this is Chick Corea, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
The great master Chick Corea from his wonderful trio release, Now He Sings, Now He Sobs, with Samba Yantra, featuring Roy Haynes on the drums, and on the bass, a birthday boy, born on the 6th of December in 1947, celebrating his 69th birthday, the man from the Czech Republic, from Prague to be specific, Miroslav Vitus. Happy birthday to him. More with Tierney Sutton backstage at Birdland in New York City coming up. But first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you. And here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice. So write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, at, that's the at sign, voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received from a listener in Ghana, and he wrote me this message. My name is Kali Sachs. I'm loving your sessions. Please play me some of Charlie Parker's tunes. And I wrote him back to say, Kali Sachs is your real name? And he said, no, my name is Tony Adams, and that is my stage name, because Tony Adams, a.k.a. Kali Sachs, is also a saxophone player. So you can see why he would really want to study Charlie Parker. Well, let's study Charlie Parker on stage right now. Recorded live at the Boston, Massachusetts club called The Hi-Hat back in 1963, doing the song he co-wrote with Dizzy Gillespie, Groovin' High, on VOA's Jazz America. inventive pianist V.J. Iyer with Galang, the Trio Riot version from his wonderful album Historicity, here on VOA's Jazz America. And by the way, V.J. Iyer has recently become the Director of Jazz Studies at Harvard University. So academia, very important to V.J. Iyer, as it is jazz education we're talking about here with our special guest on this edition of the program, Tierney Sutton. She attended the famous Berklee College of Music in Boston and now has been a teacher in the Jazz Studies Department at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles and at the Los Angeles Music Academy in Vocal Jazz Studies there, directing those departments and working with many great young vocalists, keeping jazz alive through education. Thank you, Tierney. And let's now return to Birdland in New York City. Between sets at her recent performance there, I had a chance to chat with her. Let's hear about some of her other projects. She performed some of the music from the soundtrack that'll be coming out soon for the motion picture Sully, the Clint Eastwood film about the brave captain who saved so many lives. And Tierney Sutton created the music for that motion picture. And she's also been abroad to work, and let's find out about that here on Jazz America.
You also seem to have an affinity for music of an international nature. The Paris Sessions is one of your latest releases, another Grammy-nominated work. It seems like every album you've ever had has been Grammy-nominated. And I noticed that you wrote the liner notes for a Brazilian singer's latest work, too. So you have an affinity for international music, too, and you've traveled the world. Some thoughts about that?
Well, I actually have been traveling a lot. I did the Paris Sessions album, and I was just in Paris producing an album for the great opera singer Nathalie Dessay, is doing two American song records, and I was the vocal producer on that, helping her with some dialect coaching and helping her with American song, although she's so sublime, she certainly doesn't need my coaching. But it's a wonderful thing to meet international musicians and work with them. And we are planning another Paris Sessions with more music of that same trio with Serge Merlot and Kevin Ast.
Ooh. We've spoken of the Sting Variations. We've spoken of the Paris Sessions, and let's speak about After Blue. Have you ever met Joni Mitchell?
I never have met Joni Mitchell. I've met many, many people that have met her and have worked with her, but I personally have never met her.
And the thoughts I have about you doing Joni songs and Sting songs are that this is the new songbook written by a Canadian-born person and an English-born person. It's the American songbook? No, it's the new songbook. So you chose those songs. They're so deep and so perfect for your voice, in my humble opinion, because they're not I love you, you love me, let's all love each other. You know, here we are. There's depth there in the lyrics, and you're a lyricist.
There's a story, and that's what's really, really cool. And it's not easy to find songs that you can put next to the Great American Songbook and think, wow, these are good enough to sit here next to these great songs. I'm very close to Alan and Marilyn Bergman, the great lyricists, and they have worked with Sting and know Sting, and they've sort of been my mentors in terms of my own lyric writing. So my standard is so high with these things that it's not easy to find, you know, modern things.
Well, you're on the track.
How the
golden sunlight bends the willow. Its blossoms send their perfume to my pillow. Oh, who could know you half as well as I? I can still feel you near me. Hear every song that a summer breeze composes. In the tender wonder of the roses. Each time a setting sun smiles on the sea. Snowy cover, I'll hold you in my heart just like a lover, and wait until you come again to me.
Recorded in Paris, but with a beautiful Brazilian flow in that song, Estate. That's Tierney Sutton's brilliant voice from the album Paris Sessions. Hope you enjoyed that. And here's the music of another great artist from the United States who also had a great love of various styles of music, including Brazilian music. Here's the late great flutist, Herbie Mann, with a cut from his album Opalescence, entitled Donna Palmiera, on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Russell Malone, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
Russ Davis here, and I have to say I really enjoyed this edition of Jazz America. I got to talk to one of my favorite vocalists, Tierney Sutton, and I got to play a lot of my favorite artists, too, like the great guitarist you just heard, Russell Malone, with the song The Angle from his album Look Who's Here. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of the program as much as I have, and next time I'll give you a salute to one of the greats of all time, the innovative pianist, composer, band leader, and NEA jazz master who would have been 96 on the 6th of December. He is the great Dave Brubeck. I'll share a 2009 interview I had with him in Detroit and lots of his music, too, on the next Jazz America.